Proceeding by inverse lexicographic order this morning is by David Cohen from Trondheim. And it is on highly oscillatory Hamiltonian systems with non-constant mass matrix.
No, it's okay, but just need to wait.
No, this workshop is sponsored by Apple Computers.
I'm sponsored by OpenSUSE. Okay. So first of all, I want to thank the organizer for giving me the opportunity to give a talk. And so the program of this talk will be first to recall one of or two stuff that did Christian in the beginning, so in the morning. Then I will generalize this Hamiltonian function and give you some basic ideas on how we can prove long-time properties of the numerical scheme. And if we have time, I will perhaps try to show you two new stuff that I'm trying to do. So it's quite technical. So I prefer to give you just the basic ideas, and I hope that you will understand. And of course, if you have any question, just ask. So to fix the notation, we will consider a Hamiltonian problem, P dot equal minus the derivative of H, and Q dot equal the derivative of H with respect to P. So the dot stands for the time derivative. H is a scalar function, and you can imagine it. Q are the position of the particle, and P roughly the velocity. A lot of problem in molecular dynamics, physics, and so on can be modeled by such equation, and we will deal only with Hamiltonian problem. It's a Hamiltonian function H that is given by the sum of two functions t and b. T is a function of p and q, and it's the kinetic part of the problem, and v is the potential. Of course, h is the total energy of the system, and it should be preserved. So it is preserved for the exact solution. So in Christian's talk, he considered the following potential function. So again, the sum of two potential, a nonlinearity u, which is smooth, and a quadratic form, which is given by the matrix omega, which is 0, 0, 0, omega times the identity, and omega is a huge parameter. And I will partition Q. I will write Q equal to Q1 and Q2. The partition corresponds to the partition of this matrix. So Q1 is the slow motion component, and Q2 is the fast component. In Christian's talk, he had 0 and 1. Okay. And of course, all these blocks here are of arbitrary size. Okay, I told you this before, the nonlinearity is smooth. And for the kinetic part, he had simply a quadratic function of P. I just write it on the blackboard. So it's U of Q. And if we write the Hamiltonian, so the equation of motion for the Hamiltonian function, which is given by the sum of this potential and this kinetic energy, we get the second order differential equation that present Christian. So it's time to generalize this Hamiltonian function here. So I will consider a potential function and a kinetic energy. The kinetic energy, the potential energy is almost the same as before, except that we have now a matrix A, which is given by 0, 0, 0, and A plus. A plus is a symmetric positive definite matrix. It's more or less the same as before. And okay, U is smooth. And the kinetic energy is now more general than the one that we had before. We allow a mass matrix here and a small term here. Okay, I say a small term because the matrix R contains Q2, and Q2 is the small component of the system. So why do we need such a generalization? Basically, when you want to analyze a mechanical highly oscillatory problem in 2D or in 3D, it cannot be written in such a form, but in a more complicated form. And this is the form that we obtain. So first example that I want to present you is a triatomic molecule. So we have three atoms. The white one, just for simplicity, I kept it fixed, but of course it can move on the plane. This atom is connected to the white one by a stiff spring, this one also, and the angle between the two is also stiff. So we have rapid oscillation here, here, and also the angle. So this angle here varies slowly. So the coordinates that we choose to describe this problem is Q1, the slow angle, Q21, the first component of the fast variable, which is the length here, Q22, the length here, and Q23, the fast angle here. And the omega, so this huge parameter, is 50. It's the elasticity constant of those springs and also of the angle here. The next example is a bit more funny. It's a satellite which consists of two distinct parts, an habitation module where you can sleep, eat, and so on, and a jet engine, and they are connected. And the model that some people proposed in the literature consists of two masses connected by a stiff spring. And I don't know if you hear, it's just for Ariel. Just the last time that I gave a talk, Ariel asked me if I can put some music on the animation, so here it is.
Well done, Ariel.
But you can stop. Okay. After this commercial, let's turn back to the problem. I will just give you the coordinates that we will use to describe this problem. So the first slow component is the radial distance between, for example, the Earth and the satellite. The next slow component, okay, it's the angle. The third slow component is the attitude angle. And the fast component of the problem will be the elongation of the spring. Okay, that's all for the animation. First, I just want to show you that there is basically no problem with dealing with the symmetric positive definite matrix here. We just We just diagonalize this matrix because it's positive definite, and we do a coordinate change of variable, and we obtain the following Hamiltonian problem, a Hamiltonian function, sorry. And here we organize the multi-frequency formulation that gave Christian in his talk. So this doesn't make any difficulties. And what we are interested in is, again, to look at the near conservation of this oscillatory energy. So here I just plotted over the time 0 to 1000 the oscillatory energy of the triatomic molecule problem and the total energy of the problem. And of course, you have this small oscillation. So what we can show, just recall the Hamiltonian function here and the oscillatory energy. I just take one frequency for simplicity. This can also be done for a lot of frequency. Okay, not infinity many frequency, but a lot of frequency. And to simplify the stuff, I just take one frequency. For the exact solution, we can show that this quantity is nearly preserved over a very long time interval. find new numerical methods that are based on the trigonometric method that we showed in the two last talk. And for this numerical scheme, we can show that the total energy and the oscillatory energy are almost preserved for long time interval. Okay. Here is more or less the program. So just recall the Hamiltonian function. We first have to adapt this trigonometric method to this case. Then we will find a modulated Fourier expansion, again on a short time interval. And the system that determines the coefficient function of this expansion will have two formal invariants. And it turned out that these two formal invariants are close, one to the total energy of the system and the other one to the oscillatory energy. And this will permit to show the long time properties of the numerical scheme. I want now to focus on this long time conservation properties of I, the oscillatory energy. So again, I just recall the Hamiltonian function here. I will first collect these two magenta terms into a function k. And I will deal with this small term first. So what do? We split this small term from the principal term of the Hamiltonian function. We do a half step of either the symplectic Euler scheme or the Stömer-Verlet to the Hamiltonian function, which consists of just the red function. Then we do a one step of symmetric NTM method. I will present you this method in the next slide. And then again, a half step of the adjoint of the symplectic Euler method or the adjoint of the Stömer-Verlet to this Hamiltonian problem here. So, two nice features. This scheme is symmetric, and it is explicit if M1 of Q does not depend on the slow variable. And this was the case for the two problems that I showed you, the dumbbell spacecraft and the triatomic molecule problem. So, concerning the principal term of the Hamiltonian function, if we write the equation of motion for this Hamiltonian function, we get this equation here. And if you look at just the second component, so the rapid component of the problem, we have the same equation that was treated by Christian in the first talk of this session. So what we will do is to apply a trigonometric integrator on the rapid component of the problem and a kind of Stömer-Verlet integrator for the slow component of the problem. This is the idea, and in action, a horrible scheme. And in red, we have the trigonometric method. Of course, psi and phi are again filter functions. Here it is in the one-step formulation, and we just have seen the two-step formulation of this method, but it's the same as the one that was presented before. And regarding the modulated Fourier expansion, it's a little bit more complicated than before. We have to find this time two modulated functions, one for the momentum and one for the position. Again, eta and z theta are smooth functions, so with derivative bounded independently of the huge parameter omega of the system. N is a large, fixed, but a bit large integer. And we can express the numerical solution as a modulated Fourier expansion plus something small. And first of all, we have to find this eta and theta function. What do? Here I just write the first step of the numerical step. We'll put the modulated freight function into the scheme. We do it here. We'll do a Taylor expansion of the nonlinearity. So here is the modulated freight function, and we will also do a Taylor expansion of the eta function and zeta function around t. So you can imagine it's quite huge, but we can find a huge system that determines the coefficient eta k and zeta k. And as before, we will have a set of ODE and a set of algebraic relation. This time we will have three first order ODE, one for zeta 1, one for eta 1, and one for eta 2 1. And in Christian's case, we just had a second order differential equation and a first order differential equation. And the rest of the function are given by algebraic relation. But what's nice with this system is, as before, we can find two almost invariant that are very close to the Hamiltonian function of the problem and to the oscillator energy of the initial problem. So here is the derivative of one of these functions. So it's quite horrible, I must admit. So just to summarize what I've tried to explain, we have to assume a bound on the initial value of the problem, so like before, a numerical non-resonance condition, also like before, and some hypothesis on the filter function. That was again the same, more or less the same hypothesis as before. And we can show that for this new numerical scheme, we get almost conservation of the total energy and of the oscillator energy over a very long time interval. So that's all for this. Now comes some new stuff, but okay, it's not finished. I'm actually trying to do a modulated free expansion for a time-dependent Hamiltonian function. So now the frequency depends on the time. Okay, I don't want to give too much detail, but epsilon is a small parameter of its vintage. This means that 1 over epsilon will be the huge parameter that corresponds to the aggregate that we have here. And the conserved quantity is this, okay, oscillatory energy also. I will be very interested if someone has some nice example of such kind of problem. I think that for the exact solution, I'm able to do a modulated Fourier expansion and to show the long time conservation of I, again with the help of the modulated Fourier expansion, but we have to modify this modulated Fourier expansion. And for the numerical scheme, I have no idea how to do this. And the second stuff that I'm trying to do is look at this first order system. So omega is a huge parameter. Alpha is a scalar function, and F1 and F2 are a smooth function. So if we set F1 equal to 0, and we take alpha equal to 1, and F2 1 over omega times g, we'll get y1 equal omega y2, and y2 dot equal minus omega y1.
Break the chalk.
1 over omega, and for example, okay, f2. y1. And if we write this system as a second order differential equation, we get y1 dot dot equal minus omega square y1 minus f2 of y1. And this is exactly the problem that was treated by Christian. So if this works, this will be a generalization. And another nice motivation. I don't know, do I have more time?
You have 2 more minutes.
Okay. It should be enough. So if we look at the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, okay, maybe I'll write it here. Is it okay? And I write psi as a real part plus an imaginary part. I will get the following problem. Now, if I do a pseudo-spectral discretization in space, I will obtain for each k this system of ODE. Okay. I think it's impossible to read. So for each k, we have this system of order one, and this is quite similar to this problem if k is large. This is just a motivation. I don't claim that I can solve this stuff. It's just a motivation to consider this first order ODE. But I'm really not optimistic. I don't think that I will manage to do a module for expansion for this, but who knows. Voilà. Thanks a lot for your attention.
You have time for one question only.
Most one.
Yeah, most one. I think everybody is craving for coffee. So, thank you. And I don't have questions about music.